Hey, good morning. I appreciate you all taking time out to come here today. As usual, it's a very exciting part of the whole process of building a football team. You know, the draft will be here next week. And with that, we'll take your questions with regards to that.
What's left to do now, between now and Thursday?
Well, from a procedural standpoint, we met with the offensive coaches yesterday. Actually, I've had some meetings with Andy and Mark Donovan this morning and Clark. We'll meet with the defensive staff with regards to, from the defensive staff's perspective, and then we'll meet with special teams coaches on Monday.
To accomplish what? What is all this?
Well, I think from what it accomplishes is what you want to do is you want to get as much input as you possibly can with regards to how people see specific players, especially coaching staffs, because they're going to have to coach them. What we do is then, you know, you listen to everybody, you filter through everything, and see if it best fits the interests of the organization. Then on Monday, Andy and I will sit down collectively. We'll talk, where we are as a team, where we think this these players in this draft can help us. And, you know, at the end of the day, we'll have this thing wrapped up here and, you know, hopefully a good thing. The hard part is, you know, making sure you make the right choices of the players. That's the hard part.
When you're assigning grades to players throughout this process, are you doing that based solely on the player's ability, or do you have to consider your depth chart / need? So, for instance, if you've got a player who could be blocked by a guy that you like him, does that affect his grade?
No, I think what you do is I think you evaluate his talents, how he plays the game. And then I think then you have to begin to filter through the processes of, you know, the makeup of the person. How do they fit schematically? I think that's how you kind of go through the process. It's not one simple grade that you can automatically place on one particular part of it. There's a few filters that you have to filter down in.
Did you still got to anchor the board at some point with first-round talent, second-round talent, third-round talent, stay true to that, and stay true to the total board? So,
I agree with you on that.
So when you do that, how much of need plays a role in where you're ranking guys up and down?
I don't think that you have to base your grade solely on need. I don't think you can do that. That's not the best way to do this.
Does it play a role, though? Like,
no, I think what you do is you evaluate the person of how he plays the game of football and how best he can help this organization.
How much do you focus on the first round where you're able to sort of better visualize how things are going to stack up as opposed to the amount of time you spend on later rounds or kind of things of crapshoot?
I think the hard part as you go through this thing is at different points of this draft, making sure that you're doing what's best for the organization. And that's studying the first round all the way down to free agency and making sure that you have everything completed and all of your facts and all of you, you know, you've had discussion points and you've laid out and you have, as we say, turn over every stone to make sure that that top guy all the way down to the bottom guy, you have done all of your research with regard to those players.
When it comes to grading a player, I mean, how much weight do you give to the intangibles, like a guy's work ethic and character, and who do you rely
on? I think that's important. I think we as an organization have done a really nice job of saying, you know what, you get guys that really like football, that, you know, have a degree of character within their person. I think that goes a long way in terms of sustaining a high level of success.
You said last year there's typically 150, 175 guys on board.
You know how many players I got today?
I don't expect you to give us that number, but I do want to know the high side in all your years of football. Like, what's the highest number you've seen on the board? And what's the lowest? I kind of want to know the biggest and the lowest outside the 175.
I'd say 220 all the way down to 150.
Okay.
130. No, actually, they say if you really do it right and you're any good, you can hit 140.
The fewer, the better?
Well, there's quality over quantity.
John, what's your overall assessment right now of the center group? Right now, the Chiefs currently only have one center, Eric Kush.
Correct.
What are you seeing out of this group?
In terms of the college draft?
Correct.
There's centers to be there, and they're at all levels of the draft. There's some at the top, there's some in the middle, and there's some down at the bottom, and there's some free agents in there, too.
So obviously, I mean, the intent is with just one center, not necessarily through the draft, but to bolster some competition for Eric Kush, or is he a guy that you see can potentially open training camp and start?
Well, I think, you know, what you have to do is you have to research everything that's out there. Right now, our efforts are focused on the draft. That's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on the prospects within this draft and how they can, you know, help the Kansas City Chiefs. And if we deem, if it's one of the top guys, middle guys, or lower guys, we'll make a push to get those guys.
How much of a player's ability to have an immediate impact on the field factors into your decision on whether or not to draft, as opposed to getting a guy who maybe is going to take a couple of years to reach his potential?
That's an interesting question, because I think each position has their different degrees of how fast they can get up. What does the impact of a wide receiver have his first year as opposed to an impact of a linebacker or an impact of a defensive lineman as opposed to an impact of a tight end? I think the demands of each position vary. And it also comes to the person of what their makeup is in terms of how fast they can actually grasp the system. I think the hardest thing for young guys when they go from college to pro is grasping the playbook. I think that's a really demanding thing, and that's hard to do. So, you know, that's one of the things that you kind of work through to understand.
Is there a clear way of determining that you found throughout the years?
I think, one, you meet the people. I think it has to do with the coaching staff as well in terms of teaching. I think teaching component is really important. I think that in this staff we have here, there's some really exceptional teachers that you have. I think it's a combination of the ability to grasp and the ability to teach.
Can you give us kind of an assessment of your passing game, with the pieces that you've been able to bring in this offseason, as compared to where you were last year at this time? Obviously, you did maybe a little more explosion there with Macklin, but just I'd kind of like to know your thoughts on where the passing game stands.
Well, considering this is the first week of OTAs, and I really haven't seen him out on the practice field yet.
Of your pieces at wide receiver, how they can mesh with Alex Smith, obviously you signed Matt for a reason. I just would like some of your thoughts about some of your receivers and how they can continue to grow.
Well, I think with Jeremy, there's a vertical threat. He's a unique professional because he does know the offense. He has the ability to go inside and outside. I think that helps. I think with the other, with Jason and then with Albert, these guys are getting a chance to grow within this offense. And then you factor in other players as well. I don't know the thing. I haven't seen everybody out at practice yet. Correct.
With enough attitude, and have some of the moves you made this offseason kind of been made with an idea toward improving that?
Well, I like the energy that's in the building this week. They're around, that's for sure. I think that the players that are here are truly professional in terms of the new guys that we've added. I've got a chance to meet them and watch them interact with their peers, and they've naturally kind of gravitated to their specific groups. I like the direction we're headed as a team. And, if we can, put some more players within that puzzle through the draft, then that's even more exciting.
One last thing on that thing. Just
your philosophy on bringing in kind of iffy character guys? You know, what's your philosophy on, you know, how many you can have, and, you know, just kind of squeeze through that whole process?
You know what? When you do your research, you completely do, you know, you vet every player that you bring in here, and you try to get the best assessment you can, and we've always taken that approach.
John, I know this hasn't affected the process up to this point, but having a number two draft pick, which you haven't had since you've been here, plus having 10 picks, how will that change your approach, if it does at all, once the draft begins?
Well, first off, that second round pick is included in the 10 picks. I don't think it changes your approach on how you go about doing your business on draft day. Again, I think the hard thing and the tough thing and the most stressful is making sure you got the right player for the organization down. You know, that's the hard thing. I don't think it changes how you go about your business one way or another. I think you go about your business the same way you did the first year to the second year and now in the third year. The only difference is we have more picks.
But freedom or more ability to move up if there's a guy you like with 10 picks and a second-round pick than you maybe had before?
I think for the organization, you try to keep all your options open. If you want to, let's say, move up in the first round, you could try to do that. If you want to move back. But I think the hard part is when you move up, are you making the right move up? If you move back, you know, those are the things that you sit and think about on a daily basis. When is it time to strategically take the player, move back, or move up?
Do you think you would have traded for Ben Grubbs without – I think the trade was before they handed out the comp picks, but you had a pretty good idea what was coming. Do you think you would have made that deal knowing that you – not knowing that those comp picks were on the way?
Well, I think if you do your research – and if you do your analytical studies, you know, you can kind of sometimes see things that may or may not appear.
So I can take that as a yes?
In terms of?
Would you have made Grubbs trade if you not been known you were, or at least were expecting those extra comp picks?
Yes.
You would have made it anyway?
Yeah. Okay. I like to. I mean, he's a neat kid. He's a pretty good player.
John, Alex Smith was saying the other day that as a player waiting to be drafted, you just kind of have fun with all the hype and all the hoopla that's going into it. How do you handle it when you're in the front office side of it? All the cameras, all the attention, all that stuff.
To me, it's business as usual. That's kind of how I look at it. Right now, this to me, what you're doing is we as a group and – I'd be amiss if I didn't take time to thank all those guys upstairs in the personnel department and the coaching staff for all the hard work that they truly have done, and the efforts that they have done in the discussions that we've had with regards to this whole building process. But you have to sit and listen to this whole thing. I think you approach every draft the same. We go about it the same way year in and year out. It's fun. It's exciting. You know, there's a degree of stress in it, but at the end of the day, once you've gotten all your discussion points out of the way, when it comes to draft day, for me personally, it's kind of boring because you just kind of sit there and watch it, and you know, you've had it's now becomes a thing of, you know, it's factual now. It's the emotion's out of it. Now you just kind of you calculate the whole thing, and it's, you know, it's. That's kind of the fun of that whole part is then you start, okay, is it the right player? Do you move up? Do you move down? That's the little thing that kind of makes it fun.
John, you're fond of saying it takes at least 2 years to have one draft class truly develop. As you enter your third draft and you look back at your first draft here in 2013, how would you assess that draft as you move forward?
As I look at it, you know, we've gotten, you know, early on we got some pretty good players. I think the one, the two threes have turned that to be pretty good players. I still, if I had to do it all over again, I think this is a quarterback-driven league. You need a quarterback. You know, I have no problem with the giving up second-round pick for Alex Smith.
Been an interesting one in the sense thoughts begin now, or will they really ramp up on draft day? How does that really work?
Well, I think right now we have called around to express interest, just to let everybody know that, you know what, you know, we can talk and let's have an open line of communication. You know, we'll be willing to, you know, whatever you have to offer, let's sit and talk about it. It's a very fluid, I think the draft is a very fluid process in terms of how it unfolds. And you kind of see, okay, what happens? You know, there's a lot of things that can happen between 1 and 18. I mean, it's quite an interesting draft in that regard.
John, going back to that 2013 draft, Mike Catalano, Sanders, Cummings, I mean, clearly they've lost a lot of time since then. What do they need to do this year in your eyes, potentially have an impact? Obviously,
I think that they need to take the same attitude that they had this offseason and continue it all the way into trading camp. If you look at Michael right now, Catapano, he's 295 pounds. I mean, he looks wonderful. And then I look at Sanders, and he's diligently working. And, you know, I just want those whole things to carry over into training camp, and you know, then we'll see what happens.
So in the evaluation process, point of view, they're not that far behind the power curve?
I don't think so, but I still think it's a little bit incomplete.
With a possible suspension looming with Sean Smith, do you feel the need to address the cornerback position and maybe higher than you thought previously?
No, we'll see what happens in that regard. I think for whatever does happen, we're prepared for it, and I think I think we have enough flexibility in the draft and just, you know, get the best player here.
Is it a coincidence that in these last 2 years, your first round pick has been at a position where you were basically planning ahead for a year, or you could have been planning ahead for a year? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a coincidence at all, or is that just part of your philosophy?
No, I think it has a little bit to do with coincidence at the time, and it just, you know, we'll see what happens this year, and then you can probably say, okay, maybe it was.
A couple more guys.
How many first-round players are actually in this draft? Just because you have 32 picks, doesn't mean you have 32 first-round talents.
That's a pretty good question. From an overall... Well, of course, there's going to be 32 players getting selected in this draft. From the total number of impact players, I would say from impact players, I'd say there's probably 10 to 12 impact players in this draft.
So what then factors into the decision potentially to trade up or trade down, especially in that first round?
Well, you got to have a trading partner. That's the first thing you got to do. I think what you do is when you get a chance to look at your board and you look at the players on that board, and then you have to think long-term strategy of, okay, what can happen if we do this trade? You have to begin to weigh those different options. That's the judgment part of – that's the hard part of the judgment part of what is best for the organization. Do you actually – I mean, the simplest way to put it is this. Never pass up a good player. Is the player that you're either going up or down for, is he, you know, is it like player, or if you go back, are you getting compensation and passing on a good player, if that makes sense? Or are you going up just for the sake of going up?
Last two, Dave, and then Therese. I'm fully realizing that you don't talk about the business of football.
Yes.
Where do things stand right now with Justin Houston, and how does his future here, if at all, impact what you do in the draft?
We've said all along, Justin's a great football player. He really is. I mean, I foresee him not going anywhere in the future. If you're going to ask me if I had conversation with his representatives, I have. I've had conversation with his representative, or we have, in the last 3 days.
Are you guys making any headway?
I mean, we've had conversation.
Last one, too.
I asked Andy about his approach to looking at film for the draft, and he said, like, a lot of it, you know, he kind of trusts you with it. But I'm curious to know how you guys decide which prospects you're going to have coaches look at and evaluate. So, and do it in an organized manner so that you're not screwed up, like the board that you've already formulated. I'm just How do you guys decide like how what film Coach Reed is going to look at? You know, how are you going to rank? Just some insight there.
Best available player. No, here's what you do. I mean, really, for a positional coach, I think it's really important for them to get clarity because they're going to have to coach a guy. You give them usually a list of 10 to 15 guys by position, have him rank those in order with a summary. With Coach Reed, I think you do a broader selection into what his strengths are. But also allow him to see, and he's a really good evaluator, and he always has been, and that's what we always talk about in terms of he and I see players very similar. That's the uniqueness of having a head coach like Andy in terms of, you know, preparing for the draft, because he truly does see players very well. But I kind of give him a broader, and as well as the coordinators, I give them a broader picture of who they should concentrate on. I think it varies.
Can it be quick, though? I mean, can it be?
It could be five plays. Seriously, I mean, that could legitimately be five plays. I bet if you talk to some of them old scouts, when they looked at Emmett Thomas or they looked at Willie Lanier or Len Dawes, it only took them a few snapshots there. Derek Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.